From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Persian Gulf officials and Western analysts say they're pleased Iran is willing to discuss a program for exchanging low-enriched uranium for fuel for a medical research reactor. But the U.S. and its allies say the latest proposal from Iran's foreign minister falls short of accepting a key U.N. proposal. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Bahrain.
Speaking at a security summit hosted by Bahrain, Iranian Foreign Minister Manoushir Mottaki denied Western complaints that Iran wasn't responding to the UN's plan for confidence building regarding Iran's nuclear program. He said Iran accepted the proposal in principle and laid out a plan for a phased-in series of exchanges of Iranian low-enriched uranium for Western uranium. According to Western officials, the plan doesn't meet the requirements of the United Nations plan, in particular because the timetable of phased exchanges could leave Iran in control of sufficient uranium to construct a bomb. Iran insists its nuclear program is solely for peaceful uses, but the Obama administration is now considering a new round of sanctions against Iran. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Bahrain.
Police in Denmark have released most of the nearly 1,000 environmental demonstrators they arrested during yesterday's mass rally in Copenhagen. Tens of thousands of protesters marched toward the center of the International Climate Conference yesterday, calling for an agreement on a global climate pact. The march was mostly peaceful, but some demonstrators vandalized a building. Meanwhile, developing countries have dismissed a more than $10 billion offer by the European Union to help them reduce carbon emissions, calling it a token gesture. Frank Browning has more.
Leaders of the so-called G77 group of developing nations and China said the EU offer fails to take their climate concerns seriously, and that it also failed to specify exactly where the funds would come from. Climate scientists and ecological groups have said that the rich world must invest at least $20 billion in third world nations to make a serious effort in addressing coastal destruction, deforestation, intensifying droughts, and overall carbon pollution. A Chinese representative at the Copenhagen Climate Conference said that $10 billion figure was easy for wealthy nations to meet in the short term, but a continuing effort would be much more costly. The EU characterized its offer as a fast start fund aimed at attracting larger continuing climate control investment. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
In the southern Philippines, suspected Muslim militants punched a hole in the wall of a jail on Basilan Island and freed 31 prisoners, some of them detained Muslim rebel fighters of the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, which is fighting for autonomy in southern Mindanao Island. Local police say two of the rebels are high-risk prisoners. They were being tried for beheading Philippine soldiers in 2007. Military units are now searching for the escapees. This is NPR News. Areas of Los Angeles scorched by wildfires this summer are now at risk of mudslides because of heavy rains. Authorities have ordered residents in more than 40 homes to evacuate. A Northern California utility company has entered into an agreement with the U.S. Air Force to provide ocean-generated power to a military facility. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio has details.
Pacific Gas and Electric plans to explore the possibility of harvesting electricity from waves in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Santa Barbara and provide the power to the nearby Vandenberg Air Force Base. PG&E officials say company engineers and scientists will spend about 3 years trying to determine if the project is feasible. The goal is to provide 100 megawatts of power to the base. Company spokesman Corey Raftery says the electricity would be generated as waves pass through a submerged turbine.
And as that turbine would spin, it would make energy. It would go to a submarine cable underneath the ocean floor, and then it would deliver that to infrastructure on land.
If successful, the project would help PG&E comply with a state mandate for utility companies to develop renewable and environmentally friendly sources of energy. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
Alabama running back Mark Ingram has won this year's Heisman Trophy. He's the first ever Crimson Tide player to win college football's most prestigious honor, and he calls it a special victory.
Just the fact that I could be the first Heisman Trophy winner at Alabama and just do this for my family. Everything hasn't always been easy for us. Just so the fact that I could do this for my family was real special to me and just for my teammates and my coach.
Ingram says he now wants to win a national championship. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.